This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
There was an executive action on the border from Joe Biden. We'll talk about that. The great Bob Good of Virginia joins us tonight. We'll talk to him about that executive action. Matt Walsh joins us. Tiana Lowe. We are packed tonight on I'm Right. All right, let's talk about this border thing. What border thing? Well, Joe Biden yesterday, he got up to the podium, got behind the microphone, and he announced that he was taking action at the border.
The border is not a political issue to be weaponized. The responsibility we have to share, to do something about it. They don't have time for the games played in Washington, and neither do the American people. So today, I'm moving past Republican obstruction and using the executive authorities available to me as president to do what I can on my own to address the border.
Yeah. Now, don't come out of your chair. I know you're probably already hot over this whole thing. He's lying. He's not doing anything. So I need to explain what's happening. And some of this may be hard to hear, but some of it may comfort you. I don't know. So let's just get it out there. First, let's talk about you. You are, as I've called you many times, the hyper-informed. We live in the information age today, where there are just endless options to watch, listen to at any point in time, no matter what you're doing, whether you're driving, working out, maybe you're sitting on the couch right now. You could be consuming information, entertainment in a million different ways. It's on your phone, it's on your tab, blah, 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 blah. Instead, you're sitting here and you're watching the first. So you're somebody who's going to understand the issues. You're going to understand politics. You're going to understand what the game is here. Joe Biden, he's just doing this to try to win votes in an election year. But before we get into all this stuff, it's important to understand why he's talking like this and why he says the things he's saying. You see, we have three different groups in this country. There's more than three, but we're just, for simplicity's sake, we're going to make it three. We have the dirty, vile communists. We have you, the hyper-informed, the freedom-loving patriots. The communists are trying to burn the country down. You're trying to stop the communists from burning the country down. Okay, so those are the two groups. And then there's the middle. There's the middle. You're the good guys. They're the bad guys. And then there's all the norms and normas right there in the middle. And you can't imagine how uninformed these people are, how apathetic these people are. They just don't pay attention. They don't care. They don't know any better. And so here is the challenge for communists like Joe Biden, and more specifically, the people around him. You see, they They want more money and power, like all politicians do. They want to burn the country down, and they understand that they have to do this tightrope walk, you see, because their voting base, the really hardcore Democrat, the person in your neighborhood with Joe Biden's sticker on their car, that person, what they want to hear at all times is, hey, America sucks. That's what they want to hear from their politicians. That's what they believe. That's why they've never flown an American flag. That's why they scoff at things like the military. The card-carrying hardcore Democrat not only hates America, demands that the politicians who represent them promise to burn it down. That's the relationship. But here's the thing. Joe Biden can't just speak to the dirty America-hating commies over here on the left. He has to win elections, you see. And so the tightrope is this. He has to constantly signal to the America-hating nutballs that he will burn the country down like they want. But at the same time, he can't freak out all those people in the middle who are just kind of lazy, uninterested, not really paying attention. If it was only the people on the left, Joe Biden would get up and he would just announce that, well, I'm not going to close the border. In fact, I don't even have the power to close the border.
With executive authority, or is there more you could do?
All I can do, just give me the power.
I can't do anything. Liberal Aunt Peggy loves to hear that because she doesn't want the border closed. She wants America to resemble the open sewer she thinks it is. I know you find this hard to believe. She really does want more rapists here. She wants more drugs here. She wants more murderers here because this country sucks and deserves it. So that's why he has to drop lines like that. Well, it's open. Nothing I can do. Not my power. But you can't only take that line, especially when your poll numbers look the way they look. You see the American people, the norms out there, they're a little freaked out about the border. Now, let's take a time out here. Let's pause for a moment. There's understanding there's a problem, and there's understanding why there's a problem. Everybody, all the norms in the middle, and you over here on the right, everyone understands that illegal immigration is a problem. All those people at least understand it. The difference between you and the norms is you understand why there's a problem. You understand that Democrats opened up the border on purpose. You understand that the low-T GOP, McConnell, Lankford, and others helped them open it up on purpose, and you're mad about that. But Norm and Norma, they don't really get that. They just don't like what's going on. So they don't understand the why. So if you're a dirty communist like Joe Biden, what you have to do is walk that tightrope and calm Norm and Norma down. And it should be noted that, yes, Joe Biden's poll numbers are down. Don't you dare celebrate. It's a long way till November. Joe Biden's poll numbers are down. But Joe Biden understands that Norm and Norma, they're not really ready for solutions, you see. You are ready for solutions. You are ready for rounding people up en masse and deporting them. You show up at school wanting to go to school, you're an illegal, you're gone. You show up at a hospital, you want some medical care, you're an illegal, sure, we'll treat you, and then you're gone. You get pulled over for jaywalking. You're illegal, you're gone. That's what must be done, and you know that's what must be done to save the country. But Joe Biden understands very well that Norm and Norma kind of makes him uncomfortable. And so that's why he drops lines out there about separating children from their parents.
I'll never separate children from their families at the border. I will not ban people from this country because of their religious beliefs.
Yeah, he understands that's the tightrope to watch. Whenever he speaks about the border, he has to make sure liberal Aunt Peggy knows he intends to continue to destroy the country while at the same time letting Norm and Norma know that that's not really what he's doing. He cares about the country and he's going to do something about the border, just not quite yet. And don't worry, we'll be nice to the kids when we do it. And look, obviously, all this was a little snarky and cynical, but it was all true. Let's do acknowledge, though, that what is happening on our border is destroying the United States of America. It's destroying the people who are coming across the border. You realize that the largest slave trade in the history of mankind, in the history of mankind, is taking place right now on America's southern border. You see Mayorkas when he went on Fox News?
The one thing I didn't understand, Secretary, there are a number of exemptions for this, including, unaccompanied children. And isn't that a green light for drug cartels to take advantage of that? And, the whole purpose of this, it sort of blows up in your face.
Oh, absolutely not.
But who's going to watch those unaccompanied children if they are allowed and you don't ship them back, you don't do anything like that? So where do they go?
We deal with unaccompanied children in a humanitarian way, adhering to our values. We deter irregular migration. We build lawful pathways.
But this encourages drug cartels to take advantage of those kids, does it not, sir?
Neil, we're taking it to the drug cartels with unprecedented strength.
Look, understand this. Mayorkas, Biden, all of them. These are evil people. Look, Norm and Norma, at least they have an excuse. They don't know. I mean, it's their fault because they don't care. They don't pay attention. But Norm and Norma in the middle, they're not really aware of what's happening. But Alejandro Mayorkas, just by virtue of his position as head of DHS, he understands that children are being... All right, I'll just tell you. All right, and I understand this is, that there are children watching, so I'll be very, very careful with what I say. You can always watch the show with your children, but they are making films with these children in the United States of America. The things I have heard from my sources, Border Patrol, DHS, and others, there are things I wish I could unhear and things I wish I could unknow. And Alejandro Mayorkas knows far more than I know. After all, he's the head of DHS. He understands the results of what he's doing. He understands what's happening to women, children. He understands what's happening to Americans. Cops killed, young ladies raped, murdered. He understands. He gets it. He just doesn't care. And that's where we are as a country. These people leave the country. All that may have made you uncomfortable. Certainly made me uncomfortable. But I'm right. All right? Now, Bob Good. Bob Good is the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. If you want to know if your congressman is any good, check and see if they're part of the House Freedom Caucus. That's usually the tell. Because the good guys join the House Freedom Caucus. Bob Good, I don't mean, sorry with all the goods. Bob Good is one of the truly great people in Congress, and you know I'm more than willing to dump on every Republican. He has a primary challenge right now, inexplicably. Anyway, he's going to join us next, talk some about the border, this ridiculous primary challenge, and more. Before we do that, though, let me talk to you about putting your money where your morals are. It's a very hard thing. I struggle with it, too. I'm by no means perfect. Now that corporate America is so filthy and evil, where do you spend your money? It matters. And where you don't spend your money matters. It's Pride Month right now. Your cell phone company, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. Go look them up right now. Go Google Verizon Pride Month. Tell me what you see. Are you proud to be funding that? You can switch to Pure Talk. They share our values. They promote our values. You save a fortune. You don't sacrifice coverage. They're on the same 5G network. And it's easy. You can keep your phone. You keep your number, whatever. PureTalk.com/JesseTV is where you switch. Switch, okay? We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Come here today to do what the Republicans in Congress refuse to do. Take the necessary steps to secure our border.
Well, that is great news. I was worried the border was going to be open. Turns out president is shutting it down. I mean, that's what he said. Let's ask one of the good ones about that. Joining me now, the big cheese chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Bob Good, joins us. Okay, Congressman, Joe Biden says he's shutting down the border. You have the details. Is he shutting down the border?
Even if he did what he says he's going to do, they're going to wait until they count 2,500 illegal people who are invading the country, breaking the law to get into the country, and then they're going to limit them, they say, after that. But the president still retains his power to parole as many as he wants to beyond the 2,500. So this is a farce, obviously, as we know. The border invasion is intentional on his part. This is the Democrat plan, and this is a mirage, as we know.
That obviously is. I thought this little back and forth was pretty good. Here it is.
There's no humane or compassionate component to these policies, are there?
Absolutely not. I've seen the face of this trauma. I've seen it in grown adult women who every single time when I've asked them, would you take this journey again? What is it that's incentivizing you to come? And they're like, we're being told, now's the time to come. Come on in and you're going to get in. You're going to get into the United States. And then when I ask them, would you do it again? Every single time, resoundingly, absolutely not. Tell them not to come. Because they had an idea that it was going to be dangerous, but they didn't know like this.
Congressman, I don't think people realize with all the immigration debate, not enough people talk about the fact that it is, honestly, by the numbers, the largest slave trade in the history of the world taking place right now on our southern border. In fact, that's not even really arguable. It's, you know, unimaginable what these people are going through.
Well said, Jesse. This has so many layers to what's wrong with this. The harm to the United States, the fact that we've allowed some 12 million to enter our country illegally, most of them from countries where there's very little to any ability to even vet them based on the information they present to us verbally or audibly when they come across the border. The 2 million plus gotaways, the irreparable harm that will be done, that has been done to our country. But then even the billions of dollars the criminal cartels are making, everyone and everything that comes across the border comes across under the control and under payment to the criminal cartels. And then the harm done to the children that are used as pawns or tools for the cartels to traffic adults into the country who are not their parents, who are not their family, the women who are trafficked, the women who are assaulted and raped and harmed, the 100 or so dead illegals that we find near the border in the course of a calendar year. the 100,000 Americans who are dying from the drugs that are coming in, the fentanyl and the other poison that's coming across. You can just repeat many, many different aspects to it where this is, there's no compassionate component, there's no humane component. This is absolutely abhorrent what the Biden administration is doing intentionally to harm the United States.
I'm glad you say that, and you've been saying that. It's remarkable to me how many on the right, if we're going to use air fingers quote there, still try to give the benefit of the doubt to these people. And I understand trying to see the best in your fellow man, but you still see people all the time. Joe Biden's failure at the border. He stumbled at the border. Oops, he tripped and fell and opened up the border. This is what these people want. They've wanted it for decades. They want the border open to flood the country with drugs and rapists and murderers because it helps them.
There's a reason why they were lined up at the border in their Biden T-shirts 3.5 years ago, chanting his name when they came across. He said he was going to do it. He kept his promise to do this, and he's done it more effectively than we could have even imagined. This is on purpose. This is the plan. And Jesse, whenever you ask Democrats or you ask the administration officials, how many is too many? How many from around the world of the 7 billion who don't live in the United States should be allowed here? And who has the right to decide who gets to come here? Do we get to decide as Americans who we let into our country, or do they have the right to come? They will never answer the how many is too many or how many is enough. And they obviously believe that they have the right to invade our country, to come here legally or illegal, however they choose. And we don't have the right to decide as Americans.
There's a national security component to this that people are bringing up. It's not as if no one's talking about it, but we have military-age Chinese males coming in courtesy of Brittany Mayer. I want to make sure I give her credit. She broke a story about Chinese illegals being picked up by other Chinese illegals and whisked away to God knows where. We just had a Chechen try to kill a Green Beret. There are some very bad people coming across our border with bad intentions.
Yes, you had just a few hundred Chinese nationals coming across during the last year or two of the Trump administration. Now you've got tens of thousands of Chinese nationals, military age males affiliated with the CCP coming here. As you know, you don't get to leave China unless the CCP allows you to do so. And you don't get to enter our country. These individuals are paying $60,000 to $70,000 to come from China, the highest going rate for the illegals who are coming. You don't get to do that without paying the cartels. And you pay more if you're a gotaway, if you avoid the free housing, the free travel, the social services, the health care, the education, whatever your situation might be at taxpayer expense. You pay actually more to be one of the gotaways because you've got the terrorist ties or criminal backgrounds or whatever you're trafficking into our country. And again, our president is doing this to the country on purpose.
What can we do? I understand the House Freedom Caucus is there, and thank God for that, because you guys are the only ones worth the crap. But can anything be done? We do have a tiny majority in the House. The Senate is useless, as it generally is. There's really not much we can do, especially when Mike Johnson's just going to grab his ankles for the Democrats every time when it comes to the budget process, right? We're just kind of stuck here.
It's unfortunately a simple, oft-repeated refrain, but the truth is it's the power of the purse. Yes, we could. We could use leverage points to trade or force something, like we could have tried to leverage the Democrats' insatiable desire for Ukraine to get border security. But then it turned out the Speaker wanted Ukraine funding just as bad as the Democrats, so he didn't want to gum it up or tie it up with border security because he wanted to make sure he got his $60 billion borrowed for Ukraine. But we also could use the appropriations process. We could refuse to fund Secretary Mayorkas and the Department of Homeland Insecurity. But we gave the Department of Homeland Insecurity a $3 billion raise with the omnibus, the two minibus spending bills that were passed in March. So we gave them a raise instead of cutting their funding. So if Republicans had the resolve, if you had enough Republicans with toughness, if you had a speaker who would pass Republican funding bills instead of joining hands with the Democrats, as you said, to stick it to the American people, yes, we could absolutely do it. The next leverage point is the funding of the government that's due by September 30. And I hate to say that because it's three and a half months from now, but we could absolutely do it with the funding of the government. We could refuse to give them the money to fund the Department of Homeland Security to perpetrate this border invasion.
I can't wait for the standard Republican line then. It'll be, well, we have to wait till after the election. That's, of course, what it'll be. Bob, can you explain to me what happened to Mike Johnson? Mike Johnson is a person that I've had on this show before only once, but I mean, his voting record was solid. His values, at least before he walked into that speaker's office and lost his mind, are pretty daggone solid. Nobody's perfect, obviously, but what happened?
Well, it's easy to believe the right things and to say the right things when they don't cost you. But the truth is, when he was sort of in junior leadership, he was never really in us with us in the fight, meaning taking risk, suffering consequence, to fight for the things that he claimed to believe in. I think probably in his heart genuinely did believe in and wanted those good kind of things to happen. But now the speakership has absolutely changed him. I've seen the change in him personally. I've seen the change in him. He went from being for FISA reform, protecting constitutional liberties, to voting against the warrant requirement. He would not allow FISA to expire in exchange for leveraging that again to get the constitutional protections in. He went from being against Ukraine funding to be in favor of Ukraine funding. And there was a story that came out just recently that John Boehner's become his mentor, that John Boehner's coaching him on how to deal with the troublemaking conservatives in his party. Sadly and unfortunately, that's who Mike Johnson has become.
Well, I like that you're one of the troublemaking conservatives. Apparently, there's some riff with Trump because you were going the other way in a primary. Now you have a primary challenger. You're not going to lose this primary, right? We need you to stay right where you are. How can people support you?
Well, they can go to bobgoodforcongress.com. But I can tell you, Jesse, the people in the 5th District, they are the things that Washington hates me for doing. The people in the 5th District who voted to elect me in 20 and 22, they like me doing those things. And our ground game is far superior. Our grassroots support is far superior. We're going to win this on June 18.
Oh, good. Come back soon, please. Appreciate you. That's a good man right there. There aren't many of them in Congress. That's one of our best right there. I can't believe we're trying to primary this guy. All right, before we get to Matt Walsh, it's always spicy. He's got all kinds of Pride Month takes and things like that. Let's talk about ripoffs, scams, timeshares. Now, they're not all scammers. I don't want to indict every timeshare company, but this is sadly, I would say, the norm. They lock you into your timeshare and don't let you go. You go in, you sign up, little beach, whatever you're doing. And then eventually, as it happens, you're done with it. Maybe the kids move away. Maybe you get too old, tired of it. And you think you're going to be done. You could just kind of let it go back. And that's when they tell you, oh, no, sorry. Pay those annual fees. By the way, your annual fees have doubled. And then you're sitting there stressing. You can't get out. But the only reason you're not out of your timeshare is because you haven't called Lone Star Transfer. You keep calling the timeshare company. You might as well call the ocean. You're not going to get anywhere with them. Lone Star Transfer will get you out legally and permanently. All you have to do is make a phone call. This is a family business. They have the reputation they have for a reason. They guarantee it in writing. They'll get you out, all right? 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
To all of our wonderful families and friends. This month and every month, I celebrate you. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're exactly who you are. To those who are going to comment they can't watch the show anymore because of the support, no worries and much love your way. God bless. I am not chasing fame or views. I'm standing strong in love.
Imagine, like, listening to that voice on purpose. Apparently this is a thing people do. I get it's a big, her name's Miss Rachel. She's big on YouTube. Matt Walsh is big everywhere. Joining me now, Matt Walsh, host of The Matt Walsh Show and judged by Matt Walsh. I can't wait to get into that with him. Anyway, Matt, my boys are 13 and 15 and they wouldn't be caught dead watching that slop. But apparently this thing is big. Who is this nut job?
Well, she's unfortunately, she's a very popular YouTuber for very young kids. Like, we're talking, you know, babies and toddlers. And unfortunately, even more unfortunately, there are plenty of parents who will just sit their kids down in front of YouTube and watch videos like this. And if you go to her channel, you know, she's got, we're talking 50 million view videos, so massive amounts of views. And I think most of the content, my kids don't watch it either. I can't, like, even putting the wokeness aside, I can't let them watch anything that makes me want to jump out of a window just based on the sound and look of it. But so my kids will watch it. But most of the content, it's pretty innocuous, although really, really irritating and horrible, but politically innocuous. But it seems like now she's making this turn into, you know, open LGBT indoctrination, which is where this usually ends with these children's performers.
Of course, it ends this way every time. You find some liberal white woman and it won't be long before she's spraying that rainbow crap all over everybody. My question is not really about that nut job, Matt. It's about why people on the right still continue to patronize things like this. Are we this desperate for entertainment for our kids, for ourselves? How in the world does anybody with any right-leaning thought put their kids in front of that crap?
I think it's, well, the good news is that I've heard from a lot of conservative parents who say that they're done, they're just done with Miss Rachel after this. And I think that a certain large portion of them, that's actually true, but not enough. And I think that, I don't know what it is. I think some of it is just sort of laziness. And, you know, we want to have plenty of content for our kids to watch. So on their, you know, on the TV or on the phones that we give them, which is insane to do. So that we can then go and watch our own content that we want. But I think a lot of it is just laziness. I do think that, if I'm to be uncharacteristically optimistic, I do think that parents, at least conservative parents, seem to be waking up to this kind of thing more and becoming a little bit more discerning about the stuff they put in front of their kids. At least I hope that's the case. I guess it's hard to say for sure.
Matt, I am not exactly the bright and sunny type, as you know. That's probably why we get along. But I am seeing more and more, that more than I remember in recent years, of companies pulling back on the Pride Month stuff. Maybe it's just in my head. I'm not seeing as much of it. I'm not naive. I know it's still everywhere. Even the dirty NFL, which I can't watch anymore, there is a story out, 10 teams are all, hey, we're done with the Pride thing. Are we maybe finally stopping some of this culture war stuff? I don't want to say winning, because winning would be zero, but are we maybe gaining some ground?
I think we are gaining some ground. I think there's no question that culturally, when it comes to this sort of thing in particular, we're in a better spot now than we were, say, 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Now, that's far from saying that we've won the culture and that we're in a great spot. But I do think that, you know, who has gained ground over the last 2 or 3 years? I don't think it's that side of it. And I think part of it is that the right has been somewhat successful over the last year or so in doing, you know, on the left, they have this term they use called problematize. And it's like exactly what it sounds like. They take something that, for them, it's something that isn't a problem and they make it a problem. You know, they do, just recently I did it with the, you know, the appeal to heaven flag, which is a American symbol that's been around since before the nation's founding. And they just randomly decided that now it's an extremist far right symbol and you're not allowed to have it anymore. This is what they do. They take something and they say, that's going to be a problem now. We'll make it a problem. I think maybe we've adopted that strategy smartly with some of this stuff. And we've made it so that a lot of these companies, if they lean too heavily into the pride, it's going to be a problem. Like, we're making it a problem. In this case, though, we're not creating a problem out of something that isn't. We are accurately pointing out that this thing is a problem. And so it's at least a cost now for these companies. They have something to think about. They have something to weigh. They know that there's a risk involved if they go too heavy with the pride stuff. And so that's probably why some of them are backing away from it.
What was it, Matt? I, in my opinion, I don't know, but was it the child tranny stuff? I mean, the country obviously accepted a lot more that they shouldn't have accepted, but was it, you know, you're walking into Target and all of a sudden you're seeing chest binders for teenage girls? Was that the moment where the norms and normas out there kind of woke up and saw to themselves, wow, this is kind of demonic?
I think that's exactly it. I think, you know, there's a mistake that the left made in the last couple of years where they started very explicitly. They started doing two things that are obviously related. And one is very explicitly going after the kids with some of the stuff you're talking about, the child gender transition insanity. And then at the same time, they also were making this explicit play against parental rights, you know, literally treating parents at PTA meetings and school board meetings like terrorists. And that turned out to be a bridge too far, because it turns out that people, you know, even you don't have to be conservative to just like love your kids and not want your kids to be exposed to things that are going to deeply harm them. And so I think that is what, as you say, woke up the normos and normies.
Okay, I have to get to the shopping cart lady who you have been just destroying for the past couple days, which is music to my ears. I have long stated that you could improve the entire country if you arrested and deported every person who didn't put their shopping cart back. And I'm not even close to kidding. It's so indicative of who you are as a human being. Anyway, this is the video that's had you going scorched earth.
I'm not returning my shopping cart. And you can judge me all you want. I'm not getting my groceries into my car, getting my children into the car, and then leaving them in the car to go return the cart. So if you're going to give me a dirty look, off.
Matt, the floor is yours.
Yeah, well, look, first of all, I have no patience for this, because if you know, this woman, my favorite thing about this is that she made this video. No one asked her to make it. She decided to make this video, volunteered this information about herself. People criticized her because it's wrong. And then she went running to the media, making a martyr out of herself. And so I know from one of the, I think she was interviewed by the LA Times. And I know from that article that she has two kids, ages 3 and 7. Like, I don't think there's an excuse for anyone to ditch your shopping cart. You have only two kids and they're 3 and 7. They can both walk. I assume they have legs. So if you, for some reason, are too afraid to leave your kid in the car, lock the doors for 15 seconds, walk 20 feet away and drop the car off. Like, nothing's gonna happen to your kids in the meantime, I promise you. But if you don't wanna do that, then you could just walk with them. They just bring them with you, drop the cart off, walk back to the car. What I've never understood is if you can manage to obtain the cart in the first place and then walk through the entire grocery store and buy all your stuff and then walk to the car, how is it that you can't figure out how to also walk to the cart corral that, again, is never more than like 20 feet away? That is the part I've never understood.
Me either, my friend. Matt, come back soon. I appreciate it. All right. I love how Maddie gets about that stuff, because I'm the same way. I see that stuff, it just makes my blood boil. So, you know, let's talk about something wonderful. Cup of coffee. Anything better than that cup of coffee in the morning? Blackout coffee. Let's talk about them real quick. It's not just coffee. Obviously, they're going to mail you the best coffee you've ever had in your life to your front door. It's about values. We talk about putting our money where our morals are. I've already brought it up in this show, but these coffee companies, especially these, oh my gosh, the coffee companies might be the most putrid companies out there for all this ESG, woke Marxism filth, not blackout coffee. Blackout Coffee shares your values and they promote your values. It's not like they do it quietly behind the scenes. They're printing it on their merch. Get some coffee and merch. 20% off your first order. Blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse. Get one of those cool little metal mugs too. I have one. It's awesome. All right. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than the championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Because look, there are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the character. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly what. Is this where you're exactly
going?
What
this is
told.
Where he's going. The laptop right. is Russia, yes.
Gentlemen,
Russia.
I want to stay on the issue of race.
You
okay?
Have to be kidding. Here
Mr.
we go
President?
Again with Russia.
My favorite part of that clip, honestly, it wasn't even Joe Biden's lies. Keep in mind, he was lying the whole time. It wasn't even the fact that we got confirmation our CIA is hopelessly corrupt. I don't even know what we do about that. It was the moderator jumping in to jump on that grenade for old Papa Joe. No. Let's talk about race. But anyway, let's go to Hunter Biden and talk to Tiana about that. Joining me now, Tiana Lowe Descher, columnist with the Washington Examiner. Tiana, you and I, we're used to this whole thing. We understand something is real. The media denies it's real. And then 3-4 years later, as we're all seeing now, they all have to step up and acknowledge, yeah, that laptop was real the whole time.
Yeah, I think it's solidly a 4-year rule at this point, right? We have to wait 4 years for the New York Times to confirm COVID came from a Chinese lab, 4 years for the laptop is real. And that's only now that we know that the FBI confirmed to Twitter at the time it was released to the New York Post in 2020, that indeed the laptop was real. The interesting thing, Jesse, is that if you hear that clip, Joe Biden, as addled as he sounds, still sounds much sharper in relation to how he sounds today when he's defending his son, Hunter.
He does sound, I actually noticed that myself, man, that Joe Biden was sharp compared to the one we have now. Wow, that is something. Anyway, you are a columnist for the Washington Examiner, and I love how you laid out the Hunter Biden saga, because in this era of information, everything, a new headline every day, we can forget. So why don't you lay out all the lies and everything else?
So this is a story, to be clear, we shouldn't have to care about, but we do, because how it pertains to not just the Biden family hypocrisy, right, which is one thing, but also potential criminal investigations, criminal implications, and the implications of Joe Biden's specific decorum. So Hunter Biden, obviously, very traumatic background. He develops a crack cocaine addiction while he's married to his first wife, starts cheating on his wife with his dead brother's wife, so his sister-in-law, starts cheating on her with her sister. And in the middle of all of this, he commits the two crimes that he's up for trial for, right? So this first one that's happening in Delaware is about three gun crimes related to lying on his form 4473 and possessing a firearm as an active crack addict, right? That's law. You are not supposed to own a firearm as an active crack addict, nor are you supposed to lie about it on the form. And that latter part, you can thank then Senator Joe Biden in 1993 for making that form 4473 the cornerstone of federal background checks. The second set of crimes, which really are the more serious ones, are his tax crimes, his considerable tax evasion. And the reason why it's worse is that whereas we charge people with gun crimes all the time, the IRS bends over backwards to make sure they can just get money repaid, right? We usually do not charge people with tax crimes on the first, second, third, even fourth or fifth years of people being unable to pay their taxes to Uncle Sam. It's the fact that Hunter wasn't paying his taxes, wasn't paying his child support to his four-year-old, Navy Joan Roberts, that he fathered with the stripper. He wasn't paying millions of dollars in alimony to his first wife that he incessantly cheated on. And he also wasn't paying his taxes because instead he was spending money on hookers overseas. The reason why this immunity deal that blew up, that was supposed to protect him from the gun and tax crimes, was so nefarious is because Hunter and Joe Biden's DOJ were trying to protect him from any potential future prosecution related to not just foreign lobbying with his jobs with Burisma, but also potential sex trafficking crimes because of these overseas hookers, right? Not exactly a lot of consensual sex trade there, as much as liberal feminists might like to deny that reality. And so where does Joe Biden come into all of this? What did he know? When did he know it? And also, how much of a kickback was Joe Biden getting if all this money was effectively, you know, soluble within the Biden family enterprise? Then was he profiting off of illegal foreign lobbying? Was he funding international sex trafficking? It sounds like I'm making it up, but if you see in these documents, it shows that that is what prosecutors under Joe Biden's DOJ were worried about.
Yeah. This family is something else. I even knew all that stuff. And just hearing you lay it all out just gave me the skeevies. He had a kid with a stripper. Anyway, Senator Ron Johnson came on yesterday and he had this to say. It was a little bit of a gut punch, but he's probably right.
In this case, Hunter Biden is going into Wilmington, Delaware. Last time I heard, Delaware was Biden country for how many of the past decades? And so, you know, my suspicion is what they'll end up finding is at least one or two jurors who will just take a look at the evidence and go, well, yeah, it's convincing, but it's just not above the reasonable doubt. And I would suspect best case to be a hung jury, if not just an outright acquittal. So again, justice will not be done here.
Tiana, please tell me he's wrong.
Unfortunately, I don't think he's wrong. Now look, to her credit, Mary Ellen Noreika, who's the judge at hand, she seems to be a very fair jurist, and I'm not denying that the trial itself is fair. But she noted in a pretrial motion to dismiss Hunter's attempt to get the trial thrown out intentionally, you know, just a Hail Mary pass just right before the opening day of trial. The judge noted in her denial of that the special counsel, David Weiss, this entire arrangement was not by the books. Look, law is very specific when it comes to special counsel. The attorney general, if he thinks that there will be a conflict of interest between the prosecutors that the DOJ have in-house and the person who's being investigated, he has a duty to find someone outside of the DOJ's existing staff. This is why under Donald Trump, you had Robert Mueller act as the special counsel. He was not under staff at DOJ at the time, and they wanted to appoint someone from outside of the DOJ. That way it wasn't a Trump employee. In this case, Merrick Garland, the attorney general who was hobnobbing with Hunter Biden 3 weeks ago at the White House state dinner, he specifically appointed David Weiss as the special counsel when he was, people like to point out, oh, he was a Trump appointee, but he was a Trump appointee supported by all the Democrats in the Senate. In the Senate, there is a blue chip rule that says that the home state delegation has the ability, they have basically veto power over judicial and prosecutorial nominees. So if both of the Democratic Senate, or if either one of the Democratic senators did not like who Trump appointed for David Weiss's seat, they could have unilaterally blocked it. It didn't even need to go to a vote. So the fact is that this was a Democratic nominee under Trump. Someone that could theoretically have ties to the Biden because Delaware, not exactly a large state. So Judge Nureka is totally correct when she says, when she's saying that Merrick Garland didn't follow the rules. The correct choice for special counsel would have been someone who didn't work for Joe Biden's DOJ, an outside hire. Is this trial itself rigged? It doesn't seem on its face like the voir dire was totally corrupt, right? The prosecutors have been doing a bang-up job. And this is pretty much a if we look at what the crimes he's being charged with and the evidence at hand, it shows that even though he signed the 4473 saying that he was not an active addict, we have photos of him with a crack pipe 2 days before this gun was purchased. We have a photo that Hallie Biden, his sister-in-law slash girlfriend, sent to him of crack paraphernalia before he threw out the gun. And we have texts showing that she specifically threw out the gun in a dumpster, triggering all of this because she wanted him to not be on drugs and owning a gun. Jesse, my big theory is that all the gun control nuts, the reason why they think that we all need to have our Second Amendment rights taken away is because they don't understand what responsible gun ownership is.
Gosh, just threw it in a dumpster. That might be my favorite part of the whole story. Tiana, we didn't have time to even get to inflation. You are the best. We'll get to it next time. Come back soon. Jeez. I even knew all that stuff. Just hearing her laying it out. Anyway, we have light in the mood. We have a wonderful story. You ready for that? Next.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And yes, I am aware of the problems Red Lobster is having, bankruptcy, store closures. And you know the reason I'm aware of it? It's not just because Red Lobster is it's engraved on my heart. It's because every single person who watches this show has emailed me about it. I know what's happening to Red Lobster. It hurts already. I don't need to be reminded every day. But I do want to give a shout out to Flavor Flav. I don't think that's his Christian name, but anyway, Flavor Flav apparently is a Red Lobster fan just like I am. Dude rolled into Red Lobster and ordered everything on the menu to try to keep him afloat. Look, I'm not a big Flavor Flav fan, and I'm not his enemy. I don't know anything about the guy. I don't know. It sounds delicious, but I applaud the man. At least he knows flavor. See what I did? Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.